The very lucrative plumbing underneath the world of commerce. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, the 12 members of the Interest Rate Setting Committee of America's Central Bank meet tomorrow and the day after. They're not expected to raise interest rates, but they might talk about demoting one of the Fed's key communication devices. It's a map of where each of the 12 committee members is leaning on interest rate changes ahead. It's not as clear as a red, yellow, green traffic light, but market players obsess over this graphical representation. On this Monday before a Fed Tuesday Wednesday, I got economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives talking about, what's it called, the dot plot?
Yes, we call it the dot plot, and we watch it like a laser to see what they're telling us they're going to do with interest rates this year, next year, and sort of over the next few years.
So if indeed they're going to reevaluate that, we'll see. What's the beef?
Well, the issue is that it sort of becomes awkward when you don't really know what you're going to do next. For example, right now, the Fed doesn't know if its next move is going to be a hike in rates because the economy is fine, or it's going to be a cut in rates because the economy is stumbling. So what do you write down for your baseline? It becomes a very ineffective communication device in these circumstances.
All right. The Fed's briefing occurs on Wednesday, about midday. Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks for helping us with this.
My pleasure.
Two companies that very likely have fingers on your wallet said today they are merging in a deal worth $43 billion to become one: FIS, a financial technology services company based in Jacksonville, Florida, and Worldpay, headquartered outside Cincinnati, Ohio, but with roots and major operations in Britain. Jonty Bloom, BBC business correspondent, is following this from London. Good morning.
Good morning.
Big, powerful companies without a lot of brand recognition, at least over here. What does Worldpay do, Jonty?
Well, both these companies do pretty much the same thing, which is provide the essential backroom technology, which enables people to use banking services and to use those cards. So those terminals at every corner shop, which you now just put your card in and your payment goes straight through, rather than you having to have dollars and cents in your pocket, that's what they do. And it really started off as a small branch of a bank here in the UK only about 20 years ago, but it has expanded massively.
Actually, yeah, it was Royal Bank of Scotland, as part of the financial crisis, had to divest portions of itself, and a little bit of it was this, what became Worldpay.
Yes, and as part of that deal, it was told it had to get rid of some bank branches and it had to stop being so dominant in some other areas. And one of those was this payments technology. And so it got rid of Worldpay for only about $8 billion, I think it was at the time. But since then, it's merged and been taken over several times and has expanded rapidly. It all sounds very boring. It's just the terminals and the security and the connections. But internet sales have taken off. Cash payments are down. And that means that the turnover of these companies, the amount of cash that's moving through their systems, is billions and billions and billions a week.
Go figure. The BBC's Jonty Bloom in London. Thank you.
A pleasure.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
Now to a story about coyotes, raccoons, markets, and fashion trends that may interest you, even if you don't believe in using real fur. The price of coyote pelts has spiked because the fur is used to make the trim on winter coats. Emma Jacobs reports from Montreal, Canada.
James Aubrey is a trapper and expert pelt preparer in upstate New York. So people bring him coyotes to process, like those in this pile.
You're looking at roughly 70-some coyotes.
He caught his first muskrat at age 6, but recently the real money has been in coyote pelts.
Everybody wants to be a coyote trapper. I don't know how many times I see somebody post something on, you know, or on Facebook or whatever, you know. Well, I'm new to trapping, but I want to trap coyotes.
Demand for coyote fur has been on the rise thanks partly to Canada Goose, which uses coyote as trim for the hoods of its winter coats. Those sell for $900 or more. Mike Wilhite is the fur market analyst for Trapper's Post magazine.
They've done well. And within like the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a lot of other companies making kind of the same.
Western coyotes are sought after because they're large and their fur is a lighter color.
They haven't been able to get enough in the last couple of years to meet the demand.
So prices for all coyotes have risen at fur auctions, including this large recent sale in Toronto, streamed online.
Start me off at 33 Robert, and he meant at 33, 34 now, 34 left.
Overall, fur prices are down. Coyotes an exception. But the high price of coyotes may start driving buyers to other animals. That's according to Alan Hurst-Gavisi, former vice president of the Fur Council of Canada.
If you're a parka manufacturer, you're looking around to say, what other fur could I put on that ruff that won't cost me $100 a pelt?
So he's starting to see raccoon fur as a substitute. Trapper James Aubrey has seen raccoon prices go up and targeted them more this year.
Kind of like following the stock market, I guess. You try to stay ahead of the game and hope you're right.
Yeah.
It's a tough racket, but it's a passion.
At the Toronto auction, 100% of coyotes for sale found a buyer, with the very best fetching $210 a pelt.
In Montreal, I'm Emma Jacobs for Marketplace.
And the car service Lyft today has started what you call a road show to peddle its forthcoming new stock to well-connected investors ahead of public trading. Lyft could raise $2 billion, and an offer today they're going to try to sell about 31 million shares. Rival Uber is expected to start pushing its own stock to the public next month. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.